This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah! Oh my, it is so good to be back in San Diego, here in the mothership. Let's all get our heads right. We're back home. It's 97.3 The Fan, the Ben and Woods program. And I honestly thought this morning when I woke up I was going to be dragging, like, oh man, long week. I shot out of bed. Was so happy to get back into the studio today. And really, I mean, it's just good to be home. It's good to see my wife, my baby boy. That was incredible last night. And then, of course, to come see my other baby boy.
Let's go.
Alex the Hammer Perlin. Hammer, it's good to be back, buddy.
I love you guys.
It's
so
good
much.
To see you, man. It's Thank really, you really good to see you. And we missed you tremendously. We had so many things we set out there, like, man, if Hammer was here, he could go do this. If Hammer, yeah, and it just, like, I felt like, Paul, didn't you feel like there was a piece of us missing out there?
Yeah, it wasn't the full crew.
It's not the full thing. I want the full thing every time. We got to figure that out next year.
How do you think I feel when I'm just here all by
Solo,
myself?
Solo, just like...
I'm nothing without
Dude,
you guys.
Dude, trust me, I have been there before.
It sucks, I mean, right?
Even when I was really the same role at the old station, you guys always got to go out, like opening day or whatever, and I never got to go because we couldn't afford, you know... A lot of bill paying issues over there. They couldn't afford to bring in a part time board op to run the morning show.
Yeah,
so I'm just sitting there in the dark, like
alone.
I went into the because we had our own control room. I'd go into the studio, get one of the nice like leather chairs that kind of recline back, and I literally just put my feet up.
Yeah,
because all I'm doing is pressing a button every 20 minutes.
Pressing buttons. That's it. And Hammer's out
so
there
boring.
Answering phones, doing social media, and it's like, nah, man, we didn't take one friggin' phone call out there. Any phone call we needed, we could have figured it out. And but it's good to be back. That, of course, is the Hammer back in full force. And we've got Paul Reindl, our executive producer. Paul, he did a great job out in Arizona for us. And we've got Ben Higgins, who will be on his way in shortly. And I, you know, listen, I it was a rough week travel-wise. So when you go out of town for a business trip like we just did, the content needs to be good. The interviews need to be done well. You need to, you know, you really need to do a good job while you're out there. I feel like we did. So I was very happy with that. The accommodations and the actual trip itself, it wasn't great. And I, you know, listen, I knew you guys followed on Twitter. I don't want to be perceived as a malcontent. I'm extremely happy being here. I'm very blessed to do this job. I'm very thankful for this job. Very grateful every single day that this is what I get to do for a living. And if you had to pick one or the other, would you rather have gone out to Phoenix and stayed in a beautiful hotel very close to the facilities and had crappy interviews and crappy content? And no, I mean, I will take doo-doo curtains. I will take an unmade bed, a lazy cleaning staff. I'll even take a snot rocket on my leg, which is what happened to me yesterday on the flight home. Again, our boss, Adam, God love him, he booked us on 2 separate airlines. And so we flew back home yesterday on American, and a big-ass plane, 48-minute flight. and I was in a middle seat, and Ben was six rows behind me. Paul was a couple rows behind him, or maybe one row in front of him. So I'm sitting there. And
I was
I'm in
one row in front of him, and I'll tell you about that.
All right, so I'm sitting there in the middle, and dude next to me in jean shorts and a way too small T-shirt where his fat roll was sticking out over his pants the whole time. All I could do was glance at it.
Yeah, the muffin top.
The muffin top, which I can't, you know, I can't really say much, but here's him the whole flight. Achoo! The only person that sneezes more than him is producer Paul over there. That's him. A whole flight. Coughing. At one point, so I have my phone out, and I'm playing Spades on my phone. I paid the $12 for internet because I just was like, I got to do something.
I was wondering
I was tweeting. I was like, dude, the whole thing. I paid the $12, all right? I look down at my leg at one point, and there is a snot rocket from his sneeze on my nice sweatpants hammer that you recommended. What are they? Zellas?
Yeah.
My Zellas. I started to sweat. I got that tingly, prickly feeling on the back of my neck. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that's this man's snot on my leg. And I'm just, at that point, I had to laugh. We really were able to smile through the tears most of the trip because we did have such great interviews. Mackenzie Gore, Fernando Tatis, the whole thing, it was a blast. I would never have traded it for anything. I would have slept in the car to go do this trip. It was so much fun and so great for our show. But when I looked down and I saw that guy's snot on my leg, you ever see American History X? That guy curb stomps that guy. That's what went through my head. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. So I opened the magazine. I took a card out, like one of the inserts, like the American Way insert cardboard things. I scraped this dude's snot off my leg with that. I then shoved it in the back of the seat, which I know is wrong. I know it's wrong.
Because somebody's going to have to get,
I know, I get it. I wasn't thinking clearly. I was not thinking clearly, but I shoved it in there and I was pretty pissed. He coughed for 48 minutes straight. 48. And I'm covering my face. I have a bottle of Airborne in my, and I know Airborne doesn't do anything. Didn't matter. I was shoveling them in my mouth the whole trip. So we land, and I realized, well, I parked at Terminal 1. We just landed at Terminal 2. So I had to take all the radio gear with me. Paul couldn't, he had to Uber. So I had to lug the radio gear in my back, and I was like a beaten man, just walking back to my car. But then, man, it made it all worthwhile. I got to go pick up my kid and get home. As soon as my wife walks in the door, she made me unload my suitcase and strip nude downstairs in the living room. And so she just took everything and put it in boiling hot water and washed everything at once. Took the hottest shower, slept in the most comfortable bed. My beautiful wife, my son cuddled with me for like an hour. So it was amazing. But it is so good to be back in here this morning. How awful was it for you just being alone here?
Honestly, it's not too bad
right. Because
you guys aren't here. So I don't really have to get here as early as I usually. Obviously, in terms of work, that actually becomes way more on my plate because we got so much content going on.
So much content.
And I'm just not really doing anything in terms of, like, I don't come into the studio to really talk or, like, talk to you guys in between commercials and whatnot. So I'm just out there, and I feel, like, the need to keep tweeting or keep looking up stuff in terms of, like, what do I need to tweet about Mackenzie Gore? How do I put this Fernando Tatis Jr. out again?
Like, again, yeah. You did a great, great job. We really killed it with content out there. We sent it to you. You posted it. It was phenomenal.
Well, and to his point, I mean, it was tough because a lot of the time we were flying by the seat of our pants out there.
No doubt.
No idea. Like,
hey, no doubt.
Yeah, Toddy will be here, I don't know, between 6:30 and 7:30. And we're like, okay, so we're just waiting. And all of a sudden he pops in and I'm like, oh, wait, I got to get ready. I got to get video going. Got to make sure his mic's good. Oh, I got to tell Hammer, like, hey, Tatis just sat down.
Yeah, you need to be really fluid out there, and it's fun.
It was
very exciting. Kept us on the seat of our pants. What is happening right now? Get in here. This just made my day. Look at this guy.
How do you even get into the building?
I have no idea.
He finds a way.
It's like Friar Phil Jr. over here. Corey Stewart walks in. Hi.
What's happening? Hi, Corey.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Look at he brought donuts.
Welcome back.
Thanks for this. Come sit in Ben's chair.
Of course.
Oh my God, he brings me a book, Running with the Devil, a backstage pass to the Wild Times, Loud Rock, and the down and dirty truth behind the making of Van Halen. This is amazing. They have never stayed in a hotel room as dirty as mine in Peoria. Ever, never once. My room looked like what it used to look like when they got finished with the room.
Exactly.
Doo-doo on the curtains.
Quite a few stories in there.
Yeah. I cannot wait to read that book. How you doing, buddy?
Really good. How are you?
This was quite a surprise. I love surprises. I love it.
Yo, seriously, how'd you get in the building?
Hey, calm down. Maybe I already have a pass. We don't know.
That's crazy.
Let's not get into it.
Security
sucks. So great. I look over my shoulder. It's Corey Stewart, one of our dear friends and big supporters of our show for a long, long time. So Corey, always welcome. He's got that carte blanche. Come and go as he pleases. Hammer. But we are waiting for Ben Higgins to get here. That dude.
He is.
I can't tell you guys. There's a hashtag I put out yesterday. I'd really like it to catch fire. I know I don't want to be the show like, hey, let's make this go viral.
We did that literally.
We did
last
it
week.
Last week.
We literally
I know.
Just did that.
I don't want to do this again. But I need shirts that say committed to sport. Because that is our Ben Higgins. Let me tell you guys this. We do our radio show. We then go watch baseball. Then we go call a game on the radio. We get in the car. Paul, what does Ben put on? Freaking sports radio.
I go the Dan Lebatard rerun.
I go, Ben, I'm done. Enough. We've been talking about and thinking about sports for 17 hours straight. Can we listen to some music?
Dude, we're an hour ahead out there. The Aztecs game starts at 8 o'clock Pacific.
9 o'clock our time.
The same day that we just did the show. You guys called the game, blah, blah, blah. We get in the car Wednesday morning. We meet downstairs. Anybody watch the Aztec game last night?
I'm like, no! We didn't watch the Aztec game. We're dead asleep. We're
exhausted. An hour before it started, Ben.
He is the most committed to sport human being I know. Literally.
The picture yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
In the airport, so, him falling asleep?
That's where I'm going. So we get to the airport, and it was the weirdest thing. In the Phoenix airport, we walk in, and they're pumping a soccer game over the loudspeaker, but there's no television. So all you hear is... Yeah, there's no TV. Yeah. And we're like, what the hell? So Ben gets
Phoenix.
Ben gets his phone out and pulls up the Padre game. Great. And so he's giving us updates. I'm like on my phone tweeting or checking email. I look over and he's dead asleep. And all you see is the phone just fall out of his hand. And I go, hey, did you fall asleep? He goes, no, yeah. Yeah. And he goes, Padre scored a run. I go, great, great.
And then
nobody cares.
Within 10 seconds.
And then you hear, he's like, he's falling asleep. I'm like, Ben, just stop. I go, turn the game off and take a nap. I'm begging you.
So
he doesn't want to miss 1 second of sports. He is committed to sport.
I need to openly apologize to our beloved Ben Higgins because I found out when we landed in San Diego that I was the biggest D in the world. So we all had middle seats on the ride home. Woods was like 6 rows ahead of us. I was in row 20 and Ben was right behind me in row 21. Apparently my seat was reclined literally the entire flight from start to finish. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I am not a seat recliner. Now the armrests were up in our entire row, so I never touched anything. It was just, I guess it was already like that when I sat down. And Ben goes, yeah, they even came up and asked you to move your seat up. But I had my headphones in. And because I never reclined the seat back, I'm like, well, they're not talking to me, right? And Ben goes, oh, yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was fine. But, yeah, I was reclining the entire time. So, Ben, I would just like to formally apologize to you. I felt terrible because I would never do that. I wouldn't do that to my worst enemy, let alone our beloved co-host who sleeps for 20 minutes a day. I just reclined on his ass the entire flight home.
Yeah, he is. And I'll tell you, and I know we got to take a quick break here, but the guy's the best travel partner in the world. I mean, he sent me my boarding passes. He paid for my luggage.
Can you imagine if that was just you and me out there.
Oh, God, it would have been an S show. Total S show.
We would have been back Sunday night.
There's no doubt. He's just the greatest. I got a DM yesterday from a girl that's been listening to me for a very, very long time. And she wrote me, she goes, "Is Ben the sweetest baby angel human alive? He seems so kind." I said, "He is the kindest. He is the exact opposite of every person I've worked with before him. He is a sweet baby angel human that is hashtag committed to sport. Like nobody I've seen before. Like nobody I've seen before."
I was going to say, there's your hashtag right there.
Yeah, it's just, it is so sweet. Speaking of sweet angels, Don Orsillo really saved our ass yesterday. We were out of gas. We were out of material. We were done. And Don Orsillo walks in the room, tan, looking so good. Sits down with us. We're going to replay that for you next. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Don Orsillo coming right up on Ben and Woods. This is going out by request. 2-year-old Bo Woods in Solana Beach, California. Undoubtedly his favorite song in the entire universe, Tom Sawyer by Rush. It's not even close.
Megan and I just watched I Love You, Man.
Yes.
Right before the trip.
Yep.
God, that's a great movie.
It's such a great movie. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Special guest Corey Stewart came in, brought donuts, brought me a Van Halen book I'm very excited to read. Maybe I'll read some on the air. It's a light day. I'll read a chapter on the air. I mean, it's literally the stories Paul sent yesterday. He's like, oh, cool. Tim Tebow's going to play for the Philippines in the WBC. And what was the other story on that top of the sports page that you sent?
The bowling guy.
Yeah, the bowling guy, which we talked about yesterday. I'm like,
it's rough.
You ever have to pull a show entirely from your rear end? That's what we are going to do today. But we did have a chance to sit down with Don Orsillo yesterday.
Sergio Ramos receives the 26th red card of his Real Madrid career.
Amazing. Just incredible.
26
red cards,
that's
though.
We got three impressive segments planned on that coming up later today.
Cannot wait. Don Orsillo is just the greatest. We are extremely fortunate to have him here in San Diego. And we asked him about, will you ever leave? Sat down with us yesterday. We're going to replay that for you right here. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with the Don.
Don Orsillo, play-by-play television voice of the San Diego Padres, looking great.
You look fantastic. Come on.
Relaxed from the fishing trips. You just look healthy.
It was a great offseason. It really was. Really good, but it's over. It's go time now.
It is go time.
I've been in training for a couple of weeks to get ready for HD.
How do you train? Do you get someone to insult you a little bit like Mud will do?
Exactly. How about this? Baseball on the knee?
That's exactly how I get ready. We really do not. I saw you. I listened to you guys talk to Mud last week. Yeah, we don't talk during the off season. We're really not friends.
That makes sense.
In fact,
we should do that too. Yeah, we should.
I particularly don't care for him.
Yeah, yeah. But the chemistry on air is just fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
Can't be denied.
Yeah, no, but getting ready for it is always fun. And usually my regimen is a walk an hour a day on the beach, usually, which I love doing, to get ready for HD. And now we're in HD every day.
So we talk about it a lot, Don, how really blessed we are here in San Diego to have, you know, just some of the best voices, the best guys.
The number one team. They were voted the number one team.
But listen, you know, you always fear that, man, somebody's going to come in here and they're going to snatch this guy up. They're going to pluck him out of here. They're going to put him on a bit. But then I see you on your social media. You're fishing. You're cooking. I'm like, this guy's not going anywhere. They got you.
Dude.
San Diego gets you. And here's what happens. Don, you go in, you're like, hey, listen, we're having a great, we're obviously doing really well. I want more money. They're like, well, you can go somewhere else. Go to Cleveland. You're like, never mind. I'll stay. They got you. They got you right by the stones in this town. I'm telling you, man.
I love it here.
From the minute I got here 10 years ago, I landed here. I was like, this is where I will die. I don't want to go do radio in Wichita or Cleveland or anywhere like that. No offense to any of those places, but this is home. And every time I see your social, I'm like, we got him. San Diego's got him now.
I love it here. I really do. Yeah. My family loves it here. It was just so comfortable to come here, and the fans have been so great. So thankful for the Friar faithful for everything they've done for me since I've been here. And, you know, my relationship with Mud was just kind of fit. You know, when we got here, it was just like I'd known him my whole life. And
did you know him at all before?
A little bit. Interleague. I've been here a few times over the years. The first time I actually met him was probably 2003, I believe, at Qualcomm when we came in there. And then we were here in 07 at Petco. It was the first time I did games there, and they came to Fenway a few times. So, yeah, we did a little bit, as much as you can, for somebody you play every, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, but when you met him, you probably weren't thinking, oh, this is the guy that I'm going to have this really good rapport. It's much like Ben and I. Ben and I followed each other for Twitter for 10 years.
Yeah.
Never met him, never talked to him, and then, you know, next year.
We really think the rapport will be coming soon.
Yeah, you think it's going to any day now?
I mean, any day now.
It's going to mesh.
It's going to happen. It's going to mesh.
No, I remember the first time I ever saw him was at Fenway Park, and he was walking down the hall, and I was with my partner, my former partner in Boston, and it was July 4th weekend, and he had this get up. You know, it was like this whole, you know, sparklers, the whole thing, you know. And he's walking towards me. I'm like, look at this clown. Who is this clown? You know, and never imagining that years later we'd be partners and friends. So,
amazing. Talking to Don Orsillo, Padres television broadcaster. Speaking of clowns, yesterday, I'm not talking about mine. Yesterday was your guys' first TV broadcast.
True.
We were working at the same time doing the radio broadcast with Jesse. We both had to deal with one element of the game yesterday. That was the heckler. How did you guys handle that?
I think our sound guys, for the most part, were able to keep him out.
I think ours were not.
I saw you. Yeah. You went to a tight shot of him at some point.
Yeah,
so
well, we had to.
Him.
I mean, there was no mess. I mean, that was aggressive.
Paul interviewed him.
And, oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
He was
great.
Three sheets to the win? He was like five sheets to
the win. Oh, okay. Yeah, I figured there were a few cocktails involved there because he was pretty aggressive for hecklers, especially spring training.
Usually it's
a pretty laid-back atmosphere.
It was very quiet. There was one guy. Come on, 79. 79. I'm like, oh, my God. And, okay, so it's our first time in the booth together. Yep. My first time ever doing color. And I couldn't stop laughing because I would want to say something, and then he would – 87, you're done. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to throw me off my game. I really was affected by it. Yeah. I'm blaming him for my bad performance.
Well, having worked in New York and Philly and some of the other places where, it's for real and it's all the time, you're kind of used to that. But the thing yesterday was the rest of the crowd was really spring training
silent,
quiet,
Monday,
like golf-like.
Yeah,
it was so
Tuesday.
That's why he stood out so much. But, yeah, we worked our way around it a little bit. Some of it was pretty funny.
It was. Yeah, he was great. Great interview for Paul and played this morning at 6 o'clock.
How do you manage? So spring training, one of the toughest things, and I had Dave Marcus. He was pretty good. Yelling out those changes as they happen to keep up with who's actually in the game. That can be the most challenging part of broadcasting a spring game.
There's no question. It's the hardest thing. It's not like any regular season game you'll do. There are sometimes very few changes, if any, during regular season games, especially in the American League where you have the DH. So spring training is a different animal. The one thing that's really good for us, though, is that we get to see guys that we may see – 2 years from now and get a feel for what this organization is, and it's bright. The future is really bright, and that's really exciting. But that's what spring training is really for us, is to be able to see those guys. You may not see them this year, but they're 2 years down the road, and you remember what you saw in the seventh, eighth inning of a spring training game here. But for you guys doing your first game, it's especially yesterday, it was like 3:20 or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Not only was it a spring training crazy, but it was long. So.
I will remember Schlitter. For the rest of my life. Schlitter's splitter.
Yeah.
The slider from Schlitter.
And exactly.
I told Ben, I go, you need to be careful. And he's been known to mix words. I said, just be careful.
You could be real close
with Schlitter's splitter.
Yeah.
All right.
You get fired fast.
100%.
You know?
First day on the job.
Bad things can happen.
Need to be well trained.
Yeah.
I also love following your social media for your.
You don't get much. You get food.
That's what I want.
What fish I catch.
I want food. I want as much food
dudes
as
I meet,
possible.
You know, that's about it.
Yeah. So what is your cooking background?
I don't really have any other than it's a hobby.
Okay.
I mean, for real. I mean, my dad cooked when I was a kid, and I grew up, learning to cook, and I enjoyed it. It relaxes me. It's one of my hobbies. Everything that's on my Twitter is what I do. I'm a pretty boring dude. I fish in the bay. I cook at night, and then baseball. That's my world right there.
Played a little second base, me and Don up the middle at fantasy camp. That was an experience.
It was fun. I was sore for about 2 weeks after
that, by the
way.
It was so great that you showed up. It's a really
it was awesome.
It's so much fun.
I had fun. I want to go the whole week next year.
It's really a blast.
I really do.
I really hope
now
to
you
go
guys
back.
Are back on TV today, not in a radio game, but we got a television game against the Cleveland Indians.
Back to back.
Kind of interesting. Framil Reyes, I saw the Indians came out with their lineup. Going to be batting cleanup.
Awesome. That's
against
great.
The Padres today. So another reunion, as it were.
Yeah, he was great to be around. He really was. He brought a lot of personality, I thought, to the club last year. The whole singing thing and guys were rallying around him. You know, it was a trade that they felt worked. We'll find out. You know, we'll see. Watching Trammell yesterday was great.
Yeah.
But Framil was really a good person and fun to be around. And he was larger than life kind of personality. He reminded me of my past place and a little bit of David Ortiz.
I was going to ask you, Don, we're talking to the great Don Orsillo here on Ben and Woods. I wanted to ask you about the Red Sox. You can't call games for a team and win World Series, you know, calling all that and not still have a great affinity for them. To see what's happened, you know, with Mookie Betts leaving that organization, that had to be a shocker for you even.
Yeah, it was. You know, I mean, I thought for sure of the different franchises that can afford to keep a homegrown talent, they're in that, you know, top 5%.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised. But in talking with him when they came in August last year, I mean, he was on my last team there.
Yeah.
It sounded very much like he was headed to free agency no matter what.
Regardless.
Yeah, it was something I think it was in his head. They knew that, and they felt they had to get something, you know, instead
of
nothing.
You have to.
So
right?
That's why that went down. But, I mean, I was there for 3 championships. I have 3 rings, which is
crazy.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
You don't wear them, I noticed.
I don't.
I wonder if Mud would if he had one.
Oh, are you kidding me?
100% he would.
Oh, my goodness. He's got his high school ring on, you know. And he's throwing a hundo, you know. So, but no, I enjoyed it there very much. But this, to me, has been an amazing move. I love it here so much.
Well, we hope you win 3 more.
I hope so. I want an ST on my next one, for sure.
Just one more question, because you brought up the Red Sox. They've obviously also been touched by the sign-stealing scandal and investigation and a new manager kind of moving on from that. How are you going to handle it during the broadcast? I mean, you know, that's a new in baseball this year that is – it's a delicate one. We still don't know everything maybe that's kind of come out, but it's undoubtedly part of this 2020 season.
Oh, no question. And moving forward, what's it going to be like? What's it going to look like? What kind of video are everybody going to have access to, you know, in those video rooms? And it's a game changer, man. I mean, this whole thing is now very different. And, you know, the Red Sox one will be very interesting. Of course, Alex Cora being the common denominator in both situations. And yesterday, I guess, MLB said that they're going to push it out a little bit further here.
Another couple
of
weeks, maybe.
Yeah, sounds like it's going deeper.
It was interesting. We love Jeff Blum. We've had him on our show 100 times. We haven't had him on since. He's a really good dude. But they did their first broadcast yesterday. They didn't mention it.
Yeah.
They mentioned that
we
there
did.
Was. Yeah, yeah, of course. We did. I was itching. I was like, so, Jesse, let's. But, you know, and that's. I don't know if you can do that. Like, you kind of have to wear it a little
elephant.
Bit. It's the elephant.
Big elephant.
They haven't
in
done
the
a real good job of wearing
it. They really
in
haven't.
My opinion.
They really
have. Whether it be the players, whether it be the owner, whether it be.
So they danced around it a little bit on the broadcast and said, well, there was a situation, but they're happy to be out here playing baseball again.
Nothing
I'm
to
like,
see here.
Oh, yeah, nothing to see here. I'm like, oh, man. So, yeah, just another something to watch for with broadcasters.
So I did the 18 ALDS for TBS.
Yeah.
And I was in there with Dennis Eckersley, and we did Cleveland, who we play today, against Houston. There were banging going on there, and I never heard it. We never heard it. I went back. Trevor Bauer posted some stuff from his outing where he got lit, and I'm talking all over it. But then if you stop, I'm like, oh, my goodness, how did I not hear that? You know, I mean, and it was constant. It was all the time. So I missed it.
What a
I was there doing the series.
Course.
I didn't hear it, so I don't know.
Well, Don, let me just say, I tremendously enjoy speaking to you.
Thank
we
you.
Often ask Paul, let's get Don on, and our schedules never really line up because we're on.
Well, you guys are on the morning, which is a little tough for Don.
Yeah, so
we don't want to don't let us get in the way of.
But
of
try not to be a stranger. Maybe when you guys are on
5:45,
you're on
an
East
Coast
cake. East Coast trip. You're 3 hours ahead.
Okay,
I'll put you at the end of the show. It's 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
is that good?
That's doable.
We have to be able to get you on at least
fishing in the East River or anything.
No. I don't take my fishing on the road.
This
not
season.
A road show.
We got to make sure we get you on again, Don.
I would love
we
to
enjoy
do
it too much. Thank you.
You guys
so much.
Are awesome. I enjoy listening
Thank
to you guys.
Man.
Don Orsillo appearing with us. All guests appear on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com.
Don, such a great guy.
Yes.
So much fun. We have a lot to get to. I walk right in. Corey Stewart's here. Back in studio, back home from Peoria, Arizona, but also getting ready. The end of the college basketball season is upon us, And our regular college basketball analyst, Jim Herrick Jr., had to check in a little early today. So we're going to chat with him when we come back, just to see what's going on with the Aztecs and beyond, Woodsy. And then we'll get into the rest of our morning Hammer Time. The Rindle Report is all coming up. Back home again. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sour of Ben and Woods brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. I think now Kelly Danick is the leading suspect as to who let Corey Stewart into the building this morning.
Yeah, after, old college chums, apparently.
Yes, after hearing that last report. We got Jim Herrick Jr. set to join us, but first let's check those early morning roadways on a Thursday on 97.3 The Fan with, yes, Kelly Danick. Gotta say, I love how the Aztecs are framing these last two games. Lost to UNLV after the 26-0 start. Narrow come-from-behind win over Colorado State. And Brian Dutcher and Matt Mitchell, they're saying, hey, this is all good. We need some close games. They're going to be close in the tournament. We can't just roll in there winning by 20 every single time. That is definitely the most optimistic viewpoint of what happened in the last week for the Aztecs. Let's bring on to our SDCCU fan hotline our college basketball analyst, the coach, Jim Herrick Jr., is back with us. Coach, are you concerned with what you saw the last week from the Aztecs?
Coach, will you settle him down in here? He is like, he's about ready to pack it in for the entire rest of the season. Just tell him to relax a little bit. These things happen.
Right. No. Hey, Ben and Woods, great to be with you always. He's got a point.
Damn it.
I have to say, as a coach, we have paralysis by analysis. We overanalyze everything as coaches, as media guys, and you try to stay on the positive, and I can tell Brian Dutcher that didn't come out as really as confident as I thought he had. Couple things. I thought, in my opinion, I thought they looked really tired against UNLV. I thought they came in. I don't know if they were overlooking them. I don't know if they walked in thinking we've been rolling everybody. We're going to roll everybody. But I know I don't know much. I'm a 2-6 from Pepperdine. But I know Brian Dutcher knows this. Every team's gunning for him. If you can knock off San Diego State, if the feather in your cap, if you got nothing else to play for, like UNLV, like Colorado State, they're coming after you. I'm going to give them one slight of an excuse in the fact of whoever arranged the banner memorial, raising the banner, the Mountain West banner high above Viejas before the UNLV game, bad idea. Really bad idea.
Dutch says that was him. Now, it could have come from above, and Dutch is just being a good head coach, but he said he wanted to let the seniors enjoy that moment as opposed to, graduating and not being there for it when they traditionally do that the first game the following season.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, a lot of that times those decisions are not made by Brian Dutcher. They're made by a lot of people that are raising money, selling tickets, and I get that, but the last thing you want to do, you're telling your team, hey, we got to stay sharp. We got to be razor focused. These teams are coming after us, and we've beat them once. We're at home. Your kids think they're going to roll. And the hardest thing to do is get your kids up for 30 nights a year to get them to play, especially late February when their eyes are on March going, everybody's been talking about a one seed. They're patting them on the back. And now you raise a banner, and UNLV's going over there, sitting over there going, hey, fellas. Are they rubbing this in our face? Now, wait a second. And, unfortunately, it was a tough game, tight game. And Colorado State shot the dog out of it. And I say that they look tired. And I say that only because defensively, it's the two games I've seen them that the opposing team's gotten any shot they've wanted. And that hasn't been them all year as far as defensively and breakdown defensively and open shots. And so, you worry sometimes that this time of year your kids are tired and your legs are tired.
We are talking to Jim Herrick Jr., our NCAA hoops analyst here on Ben and Woods, as we do every week. And, Coach, listen, sometimes the ball just doesn't go in. And that's been, the Aztecs have shot so well this year. And like you mentioned, the defense. But when you got players on a cold streak like that, what is your advice to them? Is it just keep shooting, come get to the gym early and just shoot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not. You know, a lot of times it's just the opposite. Less is more because you've been going so hard for so long since September, and you know, you tee your practices. You know, a lot of great coaches, and Dutch knows this, that they're probably not practicing more than an hour. You know, your scouting reports, you tell your assistant coaches, and which I got told a lot, hey, you got, instead of the half hour, usually you got 10 minutes. You know, we're not digesting all this, but, you know, shooters always shoot. And the thing about shooters is your legs. You know, I don't know, you know, they say that about, you guys know, pitchers and their arms and 5 days rest, or, you know, athletes, but with shooters, it's always about their legs. And if they're coming off their legs and they're practicing and the shots aren't falling, it's about getting shots up, but it's also about getting your legs under you. And you hear, you know, the LeBron James and the pros talk about it. You know, I didn't have my legs tonight. And everything starts with your legs when it comes to your jumpers. And they haven't shot it well the last two games. And you know, you worry about that. And I'm sure you take an extra day off or you cut practice down to get that in. But you know, Malachi knows how to shoot. He didn't just lose his shooting touch this week. So did Matt Mitchell. And you know, so if it's legs, you know, then I attribute that to just physical, not mental.
Despite the loss, despite the near loss to Colorado State, the bracketologists still have San Diego State as a one seed. Maybe just as much because the teams behind them, Duke lost again this week.
Yeah.
Maryland
yeah.
lost.
Yeah.
They almost lost again last night. They had to pull one out of the fire against right. Minnesota. What are you seeing here in terms of like the seedings near the top and where San Diego State kind of sits, how tenuous their hold is with one game left in the regular season?
Well, a lot of teams try to play their way in on the bubble. You know, we always talk about when you were in, you're trying not to play your way out or down, and that's why you try to keep your team razor sharp. You know, they could certainly lose a couple and fall into the two slot. You know, based on the committee, everyone else is losing. You know, Gonzaga got beat at BYU. You know, like you said, Maryland had they were down like 10 at Minnesota last night. And, you know, you look at the ones and the two seeds, and Dayton's had a bunch of close ones that, you know, they're penciling them into the two. You know, I don't think this, you know, the Duke team does it for me this year as far as weapons and what they have to be a solid two. And maybe they slip to a three, but, you know, if San Diego State can win out and win the tournament, then I think they're a solid one. Should they stumble one and then maybe lose to, you know, a rejuvenated, you know, UNLV team, Boise State team, you know, College State now that thinks that they can beat them. You know, do they move to a two? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't think there's much difference between one and two. I mean, you're getting a 15-16 seed or a play-in game, and your second one's always – but then it's on. The second game is always going to be tough, and then, you know, it's on to the Sweet 16. So, you know, I know Dutch – the priority is to stay in the West, and with the Zags losing – I just see them being a one. If Gonzaga can run the table in the WCC, and which now they haven't, and they're still a one seed, then San Diego State should be a one seed in the West.
Last thing, Coach, Nevada. Obviously, San Diego State beat them at Viejas earlier this season. I haven't watched a ton of them, though. They're second in the conference, 12 wins. Steve Alford certainly having a pretty decent first season as their head coach. How scary is this game for him up in Reno on Saturday?
Oh, I think it's I wouldn't put it a must win, but you certainly don't want to slip up at Reno and lose two of three. You know, they're playing better. I know they had a close one at Wyoming, but I haven't seen a lot of them. I only saw them once, and it was at Christmas. And but you know, he's obviously doing a good job, and has always done a good job. And you know, San Diego State's going to have the target on their back, and you get a chance to play the fourth seed team late in February on your home court, and you know, you're trying to get in. He's trying to tell his kids, hey, if we knock them off, we got a chance to, you know, to maybe get in and get seated. And so they're gunning for, you know, everybody's gunning for them. And so this is going to be a tough game. It's a tough stretch until they get to the Mountain West Tournament.
Coach, as always, a pleasure. We will chat with you again next week as we tip off the Mountain West Tournament in Las Vegas early this year.
Right.
But as always, appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Coach Jim Herrick Jr. on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. Quick reminder, 97.3 The Fan invites you to join us for the 10th annual Randy Jones Leap for Independence coming up this Saturday, February 29th. Is 5K walk and run down at Crown Point Shores to benefit Home of Guiding Hands. For more information to register, you can go to our events page at 973thefansd.com, or as Randy told us yesterday when he came in studio, just show up.
Show up.
Crown Point on Saturday morning. They'll register you on the spot right there. And speaking of on the spot, he's always on the spot every time this morning at 5:51 or thereabouts.
What?
Hammer Time.
So good. Reunited as we understood. There's one perfect fit and sugar, this one is it. So good.
Who'd you miss the most? Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, it's definitely Woods.
Definitely.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
If you had said anything else, I wouldn't have believed you.
So. That's exactly right.
I would have believed you.
For Hammer Time this morning, this one's very important to the Perlin family.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been a very tough family to ever go out to eat with because I wouldn't say we're very polite when it comes to actually waiting for others to get their food to start eating. From the second that the food hits the table, like my dad's always told us, like, yo, you got to eat your food. We find it rude to like, yo, your food's getting cold. That's rude to the chef who put his hard work to make this delicacy for you. So the Perlin family does not believe in waiting for others to get
that is a cop-out, first of all. That, yeah, we're insulting the chef because the food's getting cold.
Chef doesn't know.
That's what you tell yourself when you're just really, really hungry and you want to start eating and the food's right in front of you and you can't resist anymore.
I don't mind it at all. If I'm at a, let's say, what do we got in here? Five of us. If the five of us go out to dinner and I get something and you guys all order what you want and then mine is the last one to arrive, I don't mind if you guys eat. It literally has never bothered me one time. Eat up. I'm the guy that's like the over, like, no, dude, eat. Come on. Like, and there's an ulterior motive behind it. I'm trying to get the hell out of there as quick as possible. The longer you wait for me to get my food, that's more time we have to spend at the restaurant. I'm also the guy that when she brings my food often, even with my wife on an anniversary dinner, I will just hand her my credit card. Thank you. Right then and there. We've done anniversary dinners in 45 minutes at Ruth's Chris. 45 minutes, less than an hour, in and out, got our food, ate it, and got the hell out of there. I don't have time to sit there and gab.
Now, while it's a cop out to say you're insulting the chef, my family growing up, same way, if food's in front of you, you're eating it. I mean, I think we're all just really hungry people, and we know, hey, I'm lucky I got mine first. Go ahead and get started and start enjoying your meal while it's there. So we do the same thing, but I think we're a little more honest about it. We don't feel like we're insulting the chef. We're just really hungry, and it's sitting right there.
But in a sense, you are insulting their work by, because when you sit there, like, I don't know, when you watch the kitchen, these guys are, like, putting these art on a plate.
No, they bust their ass in there. It's a really hard job.
And the way it's meant to be eaten is right then and there.
100%.
So I do feel like, yeah, I know it's a cop-out, but I do, from some part of me does, like, yo, I'm insulting the chef. Maybe it's only 10% out of 100.
Out of 100, yeah.
But when you're with people you don't really know, like at a business lunch or something.
You wait that
like
one.
A big one, you always have to wait.
You wait
because you don't
one
know who's going to take offense if you just start tucking into your food at that moment. And like you're at a 10 top or something, and they bring you yours like first. And then you're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
And waiting and waiting.
Agreed. You got to know the company that you're in. You know, it really depends. If it's family, who cares, right? Just everybody, it's every man for himself.
Still like this, Hammer. One of my favorite restaurants, Las Vegas, Emeril Lagasse's Steakhouse, Delmonico. No matter how big the table is, you'd have 12 people at the table. They will get as many servers as necessary, and they will present the food all at the same instant right in front of everyone at the table right at once.
That's very
cool.
The big
army comes over, so no one ever has to wait for anything. It's genius.
But I hate when you're at the restaurant, and you are sitting there, and you clearly see your food is ready.
Now that
and it's been there for 10 minutes.
Sitting in the window, 20 minutes. Under the heat lamp.
I want it, and then I Larry David does this in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He went and got it.
He just goes up and grabs
it. Got it.
It's genius.
It's genius.
The food is sitting there, and it's not being eaten. Yep. That's the way it's supposed to be eaten, right then and there.
Yeah. I want to know, because I don't watch the show, but what happened to Larry when
he got
that?
In trouble.
Was it his food?
It was his food. Yeah, and he's watching it, sitting there rotting under the heat lamp, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go get it. And, of course, his partner, Jeff, is like, attaboy, go get that food. And he goes and gets it. And, of course, he gets a talking to. But, yeah, if it's sitting right there, but it's not a self-serve restaurant. You know what I mean? They have people that's how they make their money. But
they weren't doing the job at the
time. They were slipping. That's exactly right.
It's an interesting topic in that we went out to eat several times on our trip.
We did.
And I did think about that a couple of times.
I feel like we had really good service for the most part at every meal. Every place we went to, a nice, cheery waiter or waitress. Really, really nice service.
Even at that fast food deli we went to,
McAllister's.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
People, yeah.
It's so good we went back twice. Right.
When you're the chain restaurant capital of America, you got to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah.
Service, I guess, is the way to do that. Cameron, it is delightful to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Miss
you
guys. Smiling. It's back.
Stop. Hammer time.
Awesome. Back in studio. The trip was great. Feels good to be back here in San Diego. Absolutely. Feels good to get back to our regular stuff. Of course, the Rindle Report continues. Day or shine. Night or day.
Day or shine.
Rain or shine.
On the spot, too.
Rain or day.
He's a weird guy today.
He is.
Wind. Paul Rindle. Rindle Report next on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.